Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Today we have Pastor Ray Larry, pastor of Providence Missionary Baptist Church here in Slidell, who is running for Councilman District G with us, and we're glad to have you with us, Pastor.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate this opportunity to share on this radio station, give the community a little bit about my background. So thank you once again for having me.
Well, let's start there. Tell us a little bit about your background here in Slidell and how long you've been here.
I've been here. We moved here almost 27 years. This coming September, we moved here from Monroe, Louisiana, and we chose to live here in Slidell.
And you're retired now, I believe.
I am a retired national bank examiner. I'm in my seventh year of retirement. I did 35 years with the United States Treasury Department.
So you've seen a lot of this United States.
I've seen a lot of it. Quite a bit of Louisiana and quite a bit of United States. That's correct.
No doubt you've seen some of the good and some of the bad of our country.
I've seen the good and the bad, good, bad, and ugly, as I like to say. I worked through the oil and gas depression we had here and also through the real estate crisis throughout this country, primarily in Louisiana.
You've seen a lot of government, and I guess you have a lot of good ideas of how what should be and probably what should not be.
That is correct. I've got a chance to, as an examiner, we look at the books of the banks, and so we'd have loans from all over this country. Let's say, for example, the city of New York, they were borrowing money from our bank, so we had to analyze their financial statements. So I've looked at financial statements of all type of entities, the New York cities. I've looked at El Dorado, Arkansas, all those various things we've looked at.
Wow, that's a major responsibility, I believe.
It is that, because we report to Congress, so we're on the safety and soundness of the national banking system is our primary responsibility.
Well, that's awesome. And you chose to live in Slidell 27 years ago? 26 years ago?
26. It'll be 27 in September.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved there from Monroe. We were looking for a place to live. A job was transferred me down here. So we began to look. We looked in Mandeville. Never looked across the lake. We looked at Mandeville, Covington, and we came to Slidell, and one of the ladies that used to live here had written us a letter talking about Slidell, and so we began to look here, and we found out how well the school system is here. We had one young daughter at the time. Beth was not born at the time. Beth was actually born here in Slidell. But we looked at the school system and the lack of crime that it had here, and we chose Slidell.
Well, great. Well, you've been living in District G the whole time?
The whole time. We bought the house there the whole time in District G. That's correct.
Well, tell us a little bit about District G. Councilman Borchett is termed out, and he's running for at-large. Left the seat vacant, and you just saw a need and decided to fill it.
That's correct. Actually, before I decided to run, I prayed about it quite a bit, but also I talked with some Bill who's in office and also talked with the mayor before I made this decision, and they kind of looked at me. Bill kind of looked at me and asked me, "Oh, you really want to do this?" And I said yes, and I explained to him why. I want to continue what he started with for his fiscal responsibility here as a city. The city is about to get a big influx of money from FEMA, roughly $100 million. Right now, we spend about $1 million a year on our streets and everything. Right now, you're going to get 100 years worth of that in over the next few years. So how well do we handle it? How do we manage the project? So we need somebody who's going to continue. We operate with a balanced budget here in Slidell. I want to continue that and make sure the citizens are getting the lack of a better word, the best bang for their buck.
So major thought in becoming a councilman will be to add a new element, a different element, a continuing element of fiscal responsibility. What else do you see for the people in District G that would be a blessing to them?
Just starting to talk with and living here in District G, one of the things that concerns the city of Slidell is perceived notion of, I guess, of crime. Make sure we want to keep crime down and make sure our law enforcement are fully funded, they're staffed properly, and they have the proper equipment to do their job. Look at the infrastructure. Make sure that the streets are, you go down East Pinewood there, and it's a bumpy street, so people really complain about that, the canned sidewalk, some of that. But there's things that we're going to look at and kind of prioritize those projects there. And also, economic development, how do we bring these businesses back? You look at the shopping center over on Brown Switch that used to be the old Winn-Dixie that's now vacant. How do we get business back to the city, things that we want to look at? Do we need to think outside of the box or things we're doing differently? Can we do something differently to get business to come back to the city?
Being a people person, as a pastor, I'm sure the concerns of individuals, care of people individually and corporately, is high on your priority list.
Definitely. I'm pastoring now. This is my 29th year, I've done 22 years here at Providence Baptist Church. I pastored 7 years at Ruston, and I wanted to be a pastor. And as you would know, and you're in the missionary field, you've got to love people, and you got to have a heart for people. And I've shown that with my work here in the community, not with I've been a politician, but just because I love people. And I've done that over the last several years that I've been here, about 20-some years that I've been here, that I've actually shown that.
You've been involved in a lot of civic organizations, humanitarian-type civic organizations. I believe the Right to Life group and CCC. What are some of the things that you have been involved in?
Yeah, one of the things I'm probably most proud of is St. Tammany Right to Life. I've been on that board probably now almost 10 years. I'm actually vice president of the board at this time, and you're fighting for the unborn. I mean, there's a people, they have no voice. So this group has been very active, and I've been very active with them. With CC, Community Christian Concern, I came on that board and just to sit, to help, and to work out. Well, then, after I got there, the chairman of the board was retiring and leaving to go out of state. Well, they made me vice chairman, so not that I come on the board, but I came on as chairman of the board.
Okay.
And it presented some challenges there. We had some fiscal responsibilities, some things that we had to do. We'd have to sit there every month and figure out what we can do, what can we pay, what can we not pay. And we finally got things to work that out. One of the things I did, Bob, while I was there, I was chairman of the board, but I worked in every department of CCC. From Janet's Corner for his selling clothes, I worked the cash register. I worked as a counselor there. I worked over in the furniture department, which they still had at the time. And I also made the runs in the food pantry. I went out to Walmart, delivered truck. I mean, picked up food from Walmart to bring back that they give out to them. So I actually knew every department. They said they never had a chairman or a board member who actually worked. So I knew the inner workings of CCC. It's also part of my love for people because I was able to interact and watch people who actually were in need and needed something the most.
Well, they have a homeless component to it, don't they?
It is a transitional housing piece for
okay.
men. Yes, not necessarily a homeless shelter. And that it's an excellent program. They work with these individuals, these men upstairs there, to get them in a position where they find a job, help them save money, where they can transition out of this homeless position to actually get an apartment or to move into a house. So it's an excellent program that they have there.
So it doesn't trap people in a fixed place where you're going to be here forever, but rather it gives them kind of a leg up on getting back to being a contributing member of society.
That is correct. It gives them some hope, that's it, because they're saving this money. It's just amazing watching the individual at the end of those programs, whether 7 months, 8 months, whatever it might be, then they're transitioning out into another position.
And both of these organizations are Christian-based.
That's correct.
You're also involved in other community organizations that's not necessarily Christian-based, but bringing a Christian element into governmental-type things with housing here in Slidell.
Yeah, I was appointed by the mayor for the Slidell Housing Authority about a year and a half ago. I actually appointed a little longer. It took me a while before I actually accepted that responsibility because it's my fiduciary responsibility. I want to make sure I was understanding what I was getting into, and we're still working on that board and with housing. You know, we have the housing authority, the people who are actually living in the actual community, I mean the houses there, and also there's Section 8, which hadn't been expanded in the last couple of years, and then also the senior citizen housing. But it's also having a heart for people because you're catching people who need helping hand there, so I'm involved in that.
Well, Pastor Larry, I understand that you're involved with a program called Regina Celli, which I have not been personally familiar with, but from what I understand, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, Bob, a few years ago I was asked to serve on the board of Regina Celli out of Robert, Louisiana. It is a Head Start program and an early Head Start program. They needed somebody with some financial background to serve on that board, so I'm actually listed as the treasurer of the board. This center operates in 6 different parishes, over 500 employees, and serve a few thousand children. It's a need-based program. Kids who can't afford a private tuition or private schools are able to get into this program. They start from early as 6 weeks all the way up to 3 years of age that we're working with these children. So it's another way of me giving back, you know, using my financial expertise. I drive to Robert, Louisiana at least twice a month, one for the budget committee meeting, a finance committee meeting, and for the board meeting.
Well, that's a wonderful place of service. I didn't know they were out there. They prepare the kids to get off to a better start when they do go to public schools at the end of their time with Regina Celli.
That is correct. That is correct. We have two offices here in Slidell, one on Airport Road and one up in Pearl River. So you're working with kids. Actually, there's a pregnant woman's program in there also. They have mothers who are there, they're working with their nutrition. And the kids are in the earliest 6 weeks in the early head start, all the way up to 3 years away, as I mentioned earlier, just giving these kids an opportunity to be ready when they get into the public school system.
How long has this program been around?
Been around since 1968.
Really?
Yes. They're doing something unique this year. They're going back and looking at individuals who came through the program and doing little interviews with them and actually videotaping it and doing public service announcement with those individuals.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty 50 years. This is a wonderful, sustained program over a long period of time. Who heads it up?
Later by the name of Dr. Spring. Dr. Spring is a very unique individual. And one of the things, that one of the mottos that's kind of instilled in me that I've heard, is it good for the children? Is the biggest thing that she always asks, is it good for the children?
So even though it's a grant program, and I guess it runs something like a business with employees and accounting and accountability and reporting, it's really a people-oriented program to help to get these kids off to a good start.
It is definitely. I had a chance to attend one of their, lack of a better word, their kickoff session, kind of a pep rally for all of the employees at the beginning of the year, and to see the enthusiasm of these teachers who give their time and the effort to work with these children who they're not rich kids. They're kids. It's needs-based, but they're there working with them to try to give them an opportunity to succeed in life.
Well, that's just an amazing program. Well, thank you for your service to that. I'm glad to know that you're involved with it. I'm also glad to know that it serves the community, including the community of Slidell.
Okay.
Well, that's a pretty broad-based thing, from children in need to the unborn, even before children in need, to housing and housing for the elderly. There's a lot of people-type things that you and your family are involved in. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I'm one of the forms. I'm the husband of one wife. My wife and I have been together almost 40 years, over 40 years. We've been married almost 40 years. We've been together longer than that. We grew up a few miles apart up in the backwoods of North Louisiana. I knew her family. And we have three children and three grandchildren. Our sons and daughter, both older kids, are over in Houston working. And my daughter Beth, who's special needs, is here in Slidell with us. She's born in Slidell.
You're one of the busiest guys I know. I mean, I think I do a lot of things, and it seems to me you're there before I get there. You're there after I leave, and a lot of things that I don't get to touch. God's really placed on your heart a burden for this city, hasn't he?
He has that. You know, I grew up temporarily broke up in North Louisiana.
I like that. Temporarily broke.
And so before I retired, I made a conscious effort that I was going to give back to people that was poured into my life. I teach class on Monday nights at Christian Bible College. I teach two classes on Monday night. I graduated from there in 1999. But a part of my way of giving back, I've been involved with the school since 1992. So it's part of my way of giving back to the community, important to those young people. College of Southeast Louisiana. That's where I actually earned my doctorate degree in theology there.
Okay, great. It's
housed at Macedonia Baptist Church here in Slidell.
Of course, you and I are involved in a different program that just really came up in the last couple of years, which is the chaplaincy program for the coroner's office. You and I have the privilege, along with 28 other individuals, pastors, men and women in our community, to minister to different people on probably the worst day of their life, when something pretty tragic happens. And that's a pretty special calling. Can you tell us a little bit about what brought you into it and what keeps you in it?
When Coroner Dr. Preston was running for the coroner's office there, he mentioned in one of his forums we were at that he was going to do a chaplaincy program. And it kind of piqued my interest, as you mentioned, because we catch people at their worst time, you know, whether it's death notification or whether it's suicide. But it's also part of my way of giving back. My wife said, you've taken on something else. Well, I mean, I volunteer twice a month with two 24-hour call periods that you're giving. But it's my way of wanting to give back, to help somebody at a time when they seem helpless or seem hopeless there. And so that's part of the program has been great. Not only to get a chance to go out on the calls, but also the individual that you meet and interact with and find out how to handle this. And it also helps me back into my church. I deal with it all the time with individuals dying within the church. I have to deal with that. So part of the training I've received there helps me. And so it's also one part of my way of giving back to the community.
You know, with suicide is an awful thing. And in St. Tammany Parish, we are in the the upper echelon of the 64 parishes in Louisiana in the rate of suicide. Do you have any thoughts, maybe as a pastor, maybe as just a man who loves people, any thoughts on suicide? What is it that we can do to maybe prevent suicide, maybe to spot it early or any of these things? Any of your thoughts on suicide prevention?
One of the things, dealing with it as a pastor, I've had individuals in my church who've expressed some leaning toward that, and I had to sit down and pray. And so I came back and dealt with some scriptural and just pointing out what they actually have in life, and that there is hope, and that, you know, we've heard the phrase suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes.
And one of my favorite scriptures, Bob, is Romans 8:28. And I shared it with my church. They can start reciting it by heart. And we know that all things work together for good through them that love the Lord, through them that call according to his purpose. Does not matter what happens in your life. If you're a child of God, it's going to work together for your good. So how do we put that hope back into that individual? How do we share them that it's going to be better? And I keep saying, just take one day at a time. We keep trying to pile all of our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and Fridays all together. But it's really just one day at a time.
It really is, and it's a privilege that we have to be able to be involved in people's lives during this time. One of the things that we often talk about in chaplain program is, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Of course, it's often referred to by those who are well experienced in this, is that ours is a ministry of presence, bringing the love of Christ, just bringing the Christ in us. There are no words. There are absolutely no words that you can speak that's going to solve the issues. People, oh, I'm so glad you told me that. I feel a lot better now. It doesn't go work that way. But to bring the love of Christ, just to bring his, to be in a ministry of presence, bringing Christ into that place and into that moment, that's really a very special thing for us, isn't it?
It is definitely that. And I like that phrase that I think I first heard it from you, was the ministry of presence. And I've always used that and thought about it. I've used it now going forward. Because even in counseling, a lot of times, if you're in a counseling session, I probably do 90% listening and 10% talking. So I'm really listening to what the individual has to say to me. So with that person who's at a hurting right then, so just for me being there to listen to what they have to say,
exactly.
And that thing goes a long way for us, the ministry of presence. That's definitely been helpful to me.
Of course, all of this goes together to try to introduce you to the public, to be able to say a man who brings Christ in the ministry of presence, but a guy who also knows some pretty serious numbers with serious implications. I'm sure there were times in your National Bank Examiner career when you had to say some pretty tough things to people that they really didn't want to hear. And just to be able to communicate to people in hard times with a, I wouldn't say a smile because somebody might think it's a smirk, but at least with a good attitude in the presence of Christ in the middle of hard times.
Bob, you're right. As I mentioned, I started out in North Louisiana, right in the midst of the oil and gas crisis. And in 1991, I got transferred down to South Louisiana. So the oil and gas went south, and then the real estate industry went south. So banks are rated from a scale of 1 to 5, not to bore you with the details, but 1 mean they're very clean, and 5 mean that we're going to shut the doors. So somewhere in between there, you're having to deal with banks on a quarterly basis or however, semi-annual basis, however, to share with them. This is, not only could I tell them what's wrong, I had to give them a plan right out. This is how you correct this. Here's a plan of action that you can use. And if it doesn't get there, when it gets to be 5 rated, then we're writing up the Congress or we're writing up the report. And the imminent danger of being closed is what's going to happen at 5 rate unless they're recapitalized or bought by another bank, which still would mean they're going to be closed.
But just the ability to see the truth of the numbers, if you will. And I'm a numbers guy, too.
Okay.
I numbers speak to me. I can read numbers and tell you a story, and I'm sure you can, too. But to turn those numbers into people thoughts, mm-hmm. and something that people can act on to make life better, seems to me that's a real great quality to take into this Council G position.
Right, because I have to analyze it. I'm looking at cash flow. The only thing, looking at a bank's financial statement, we go to the loan portfolio, which is probably the largest asset of that bank. And I look at a financial statement, look at a borrower's financial statement. First thing I want to know, what is that loan for and how is it going to be repaid? So you got to analyze it, make sure you're not funding some long-term project with some short-term cash flow that's coming in. So same thing with the city. Look at what can we do? What can we do? How can we be more fiscally responsible? I was looking over the Slido City Council minutes a few months ago, and there are some deficiencies, I think. There was an individual who had a house that was dilapidated, and he was instructed by the city to tear it down. They said, if you don't tear it down, we will. However, if you want to tear it down yourself, you have to come to us and get a permit. You've already instructed him to tear it down. Why does he need to come back? It just seems like there's a duplication of services there. So there got to be some more efficiencies that we can do.
That's an excellent example of bureaucracy at its best, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's been certainly a pleasure to talk with you today. You've given us some real insight into Pastor Ray L. Lowry and who he is and where he's come from. Is there anything you'd like to say as we begin to wind this thing up?
Bob, once again, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share. And I've said the reason I got in this race because I want to continue what's already been started. I've got a love for this city, and I want to see it grow higher and higher to go to even higher heights. You know, we've got parks and recreation. We need to sit down. Nobody talk to the park and recreation director. Find out what the needs are in that department. You know, we've got dilapidated equipment there. So let's talk with him. There's so much this city. This city has great assets, and I want to continue to see that a great place that we can raise our family.
Well, it certainly is a great place to live. People who listen to this program frequently would know that I'm a cheerleader for Slidell. There's so many great things and great people involved in Slidell, and looking forward to see how the Lord will use you in the future here in Slidell. So thank you, Pastor Lowry. Okay. So glad to talk to you today.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Pastor Lowry, and thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. If you want to be in touch with us, you can give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text, leave us a comment, and if you want to be in touch with Pastor Lowry, you can call that number, and we'll tell you how to make that happen. Also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Check on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can leave a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of folks just like you. And again, give us a call. We really want to hear from you. 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Tune in daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. for Voices of Slidell and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.